This is CliffCentral.com.
Justice Malala is here. It is time for the Burning Platform. Every Thursday morning, we check in on the most important stories in the news, and it is brought to you by the people who bring you the hottest stuff you can buy to make your stomach happy. That's Nando's. You can get the hot, you can get the lemon and herb, you can get the extra hot, you can get the mild. It all depends on your taste. This morning, I think we'll cover a lot of those different tastes, as we do every day. And they've also got all kinds of other exciting products. They're celebrating a whole 30 years of Nando's this year.
Jeepers. That's quite amazing.
It is.
I remember the first time I had Nando's in the 1990s. And this guy, my girlfriend at the time, was sharing a house with this guy. And this guy went out and got, I think, 3 full chickens cut up 8 ways. Oh, my word. It was life-changing. See, I don't laugh. It was actually life-changing. Cheap. Yeah, 30 years, huh?
Speaking of life-changing, there was a guy who used to be a humble member of the Youth League, and suddenly he's taking 680,000 rand holidays to Dubai, and he thinks it's very unfair of us to question why or who would have paid for these things.
You know what I find really weird? It's that if I'm sitting here and I say, hey, we're going on holiday, and you say, who's going to pay for it? And I say, don't worry, I'm paying for it. Uh-huh. But if we turn around and you say, I'm paying for it, in a year's time, I come through here and I say, oh, who paid for that holiday? My man, if you paid 650,000 rand out of your own pocket, you'd remember that you paid for that thing. But our Minister of Finance was first sent the questions. Sorry, our Minister of
Police.
What's he now? Police. Fikile Mbalula was sent questions more than a month ago by Barry Bateman at Eyewitness News. He was told, guy, here are the questions. I'm just asking the questions. Who paid for this? He said, no, you're impugning me. Or how dare you? This is a smear campaign. Instead of saying, oh, no, my family paid for it, or I paid for it. So this thing goes on for months and months. And then finally, these guys decide we're going to publish and we're going to tell the world that actually we found that there's this company which provides clothing to one of the sports committees. And
was it that horrible tracksuit that we saw our Olympic athletes wearing? Was it that?
People have been saying that's the tracksuit.
And that's the reason we had to go cheap on the tracksuits.
While the minister was living it up in Dubai, okay, we were going, I mean, our athletes looked horrible in that thing. It was terrible. But look, I'm not sure if that's the company that did that particular outfit, but it's one of those guys. So the minister says we mustn't ask questions about this, but we must ask questions about it because, first of all, if a minister gets a gift from someone who also stands to benefit from the minister's work, and this is when the minister was the Minister of Sport, then it should have been declared as a gift in the members' register in Parliament. It should have been declared at the very least to the president of South Africa that, look, these guys are paying for me. I just need you to know that this is what's happening. But none of that happened. So Minister Mbalula now has only one way to defend this. It's if it did not happen. Now, if the invoices are there, and they seem to be there, and they show at least 300,000 of that 650,000 rand was paid for by this company, then we have a problem here. The minister did not declare, and on the basis of that, he should resign or should be fired, or else there will be, in fact, there could be criminal charges, because you'll remember way back, and Jacob Zuma will remember this, and I know he's listening, way back in 2003, 2004, Tony Yengeni
Mercedes Benz.
Exactly.
The Yengeni Benz.
The Yengeni Benz, which he took the reporter at the time. He gave him a little ride and says, it goes like a jet.
Yeah, and that car actually became known as the Yengeni.
The Yengeni, yes. If you drive one, even today, people say, oh, he drives a Yengeni. There you go.
But so, this has also happened already to Fikile Mbalula. I mean, we know about that Mayweather trip that was taken to Vegas with Thibaut Touch.
And
didn't Botswana, who's been killed since then, he was the guy who paid for it?
Yes. Now we've got court papers there. But let me before we get to that. So what you have here is that it might be a discount, because with the Yengeni, he took a discount. Mm. He said he was sitting on the committee in parliament that was making the decision about arms procurement. The company that was owned Mercedes-Benz in South Africa was also bidding on that committee. So they come to him and say, oh, here's a discount. Do you think when they arrive in parliament in front of the committee, they're going to get a hard time after that discount, or they're going to get an easy time? Uh-huh. And he went to jail for that.
That's right, he did.
He went to jail for that. So if you don't declare that you got a little bit of something, then you'll go to jail for that.
And that was just as an MP. Imagine how much more emphasis is put upon it by the courts if you're a minister.
Exactly. So the minister now only has one leg to stand on, and it's to say, I did not get my holiday paid for by this company, because if he did, and they got work from the Department of Sport and Recreation, then the conflict is jarring. And if I was Tony Yengeni, and I know he's listening from the Cape, I would be jumping up and down and saying, comrades, I went to jail. Why aren't others going to jail for this stuff? So I think a conversation needs to happen. And I think Fikile Mbalula is in trouble. And he might be in trouble not for the gift itself, but for even denying the gift, for the cover-up.
Perjury.
Exactly. So there are all sorts of things there. Then it's the case that you're talking about, Gareth. And these are just court papers in which it's alleged that the minister received 1 million rand to go and watch the Floyd Money Mayweather fight. Now, you know, many of us have been wondering, this question has been asked for a long time, where does the minister get the budget? Is it government that's paying for him to go to all these fancy Las Vegas fights, or what's going on? Mm-hmm. And it turns out this allegation is serious. Mr. Botswana was a businessman in the Northwest. He got assassinated on the highway into Pretoria on the N4N1 interchange, and many questions have been asked, because Mr. Botswana was alleging that he was exposing corruption in tenders, and many people say that's why he was killed. Now there are two aspects of this story. I don't know if the Minister of Police now, the Minister of Sport then, did receive this money. We'll wait to see what evidence comes out of it. But there are two things.
Is this yet to go to court?
This is yet to go to court. So we'll see what evidence comes about that this money was indeed channeled to the minister. But I think politically there are two things out of it. The minister needs to explain. He can't get away with saying, oh, no, it's private. Oh, no, it's this. Oh, no. He needs to explain. Otherwise, essentially, the kudos that he received, you know, I'm very partial, if you will, to Fikile Mbalula, despite all the outrageous utterances he makes and so forth. I'm partial for him because he was the man way back in 2011, who went to the National Executive Committee of the ANC and said, guys, why was I told by the Guptas that I'm going to be sports minister? Why wasn't I told?
According to those reports, he was crying.
He was crying at the NEC of the ANC. 110 people in the room. And you know what? A lot of what we know now came from that confrontation that he had at the time. And I have to say, you know what? I owe him, we all owe him some gratitude for that. But he needs to explain what's going on with all these allegations of him receiving money and exactly how he comes by that money, because he's the top cop in this country. He's not a cop, but he's the top law enforcer in this country. If he is now going to go the route of Jackie Celebi, of who was the gentleman from KwaZulu-Natal who allegedly got Bekicele and so forth, we have a problem here. I don't want to see our police minister in chains going down, but if he doesn't explain himself properly, he's going to go down. And this it's a real issue. The second one is just for our viewer, for our listeners to enjoy. And it is the fact that, you know what, when Julius Malema says something in our political firmament, you must take that guy seriously, because he said, ooh, it looks like our narcissistic minister is about to be implicated in murder as well. And lo and behold, who is narcissistic? I mean, I don't think liking Twitter is not narcissistic, but I think he was talking about this very case that is now blowing up with the court papers and the allegations of 1 million rand from Botswana to the Minister of Police. So we'll see how that one pans out. But Julius Malema, watch those tweets, man. The man knows he's got deep, deep sources inside the ANC and government.
Speaking of the ANC and government, I saw Gwede put out the delegate numbers the other day. And were there any surprises? Are these delegate numbers going to reinforce any single candidate's presidential ambitions?
Yes, those numbers were interesting because D.D. Mabuza, David Mabuza, the chair of the ANC in Mpumalanga, the premier of Mpumalanga, has now become pretty powerful in the ANC. We've all been talking about how KwaZulu-Natal is the big kahuna. It's got the big numbers, and it still has. But one of the interesting developments is that Mpumalanga used to be, I think, fifth in the rankings of most members and delegates to conference. It's shot up from number five to number two.
Sure.
So that means that...
And they're allowed to just do this, to expand the numbers like that?
Well, we should be asking questions on some deep ones, because in 2015 December, Mpumalanga was not this powerful. Just a year and a half later, Mpumalanga has gone from Mr. Lightweight to heavyweight player in this thing. How did they get so many members in so short a time? D.D. Mabuza says himself, look, I've worked hard, he says. I've worked hard to grow and consolidate and unify the ANC in Mpumalanga. Now, so lovely. You and I will know that in KwaZulu-Natal, there was an investigation. There were allegations that there were 200,000 fake members in KwaZulu-Natal. You will know that 4 weeks ago, there were 4,000 memberships that were being investigated in just one region, which were said to have suddenly come through in one day with some fake bank stamps for the 20 rand that people have to pay to be a member of the ANC. So it's legitimate to ask that question, how did Mpumalanga do it? But the ANC seems to have accepted those numbers, and so Mpumalanga is now number two and therefore has huge sway. The key is that Mpumalanga has sway because Mpumalanga is no longer the darling, or no longer views Nkosa Zana Dlamini Zuma as its darling. It views Zweli Mkhize as a bit of a darling. David Mabuza says we need a unity candidate, someone who will kick off these two, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma and Cyril, and be our guy. and unite the ANC. And he thinks that is Zweli Mkhize. And of course, he thinks that he would be the right deputy president for Zweli Mkhize. What that does is that, as we discussed a few weeks ago, the Premier League is dead in the water. Because if the Premier League had the numbers with a bit of KZN, the whole of Mpumalanga, Northwest Free State, they would have about 1,900 members out of the 5,200. All they'd need now is to eat into bits of every other province that Cyril Ramaphosa has support in. We know that they've got some support in the Northern Cape, Gauteng. Then they would have 86 votes from the Youth League, 86 from the Women's League, maybe the Veterans League. They would easily make up just over 50%, maybe even 55, 60% of that. But Mpumalanga walking away means that that whole campaign collapses. So the real fight now, I think, is between Zweli Mkhize, if he gets absolute stamp of support from Mpumalanga, and Cyril Ramaphosa. Zweli Mkhize is eating into the Ramaphosa faction as well, because he's got people like Paul Mashatile saying, oh, maybe we do need a unity
and
candidate.
The unity message is a much stronger message
it's
than
a very
let's split
powerful
the party.
Yeah.
Okay, but then I've heard people saying, it was a member of an opposition party, I think, who said that actually Zweli Mkhize is the real Zuma candidate.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. There are two people who've said that. The first one is Professor Butler from the University of the Western Cape, who has written a book on Cyril Ramaphosa, which came out about 3 years ago. It's a very good book. He said that this is the candidate that Jacob Zuma has always wanted. The other person is Bantu Holomisa.
That's it.
And Bantu Holomisa says, yeah, you're getting the Zuma candidate is now coming through. That's the Zuma candidate. Julius Malema said 6 months ago that all of you are talking, but watch Mpumalanga. That will be the kingmaker. And he's been right about that. And he said that will be the kingmaker, and they may go for the original Zuma candidate, and that would be Zweli Mkhize. But I suddenly panicked and said, did I miss something here? So I went back into history and looked at Zweli Mkhize and said, was he really the Zuma candidate? Zuma and Mkhize were very close in exile. In Zimbabwe, they lived next to each other. That's how they became, Mkhize became involved in the Kwezi case, because these were three families which were pretty much together in exile. But the Zweli Mkhize presidential campaign actually goes back to 2001, when just before the ANC conference in Stellenbosch in 2002, the KZN province said, we haven't had an ANC leader from KwaZulu-Natal since Albert Luthuli in the 1950s, and we believe that our time is coming. And it was a guy called, who's passed away sadly, Dumisani Makaye, who was one of the ANC provincial leaders. He said at the time, Zweli Mkhize, we believe, will be the next leader of the ANC, and we are setting him up to be the leader of the ANC in 2012 or 2017.
That long ago.
2001. This is in the run-up to the 2002 ANC conference. So the Zweli Mkhize ticket goes back that long. At that time, Jacob Zuma was the deputy president of the ANC, and the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal didn't want him to ascend. They wanted Zweli Mkhize to ascend.
Wow.
So there's been a narrative all along.
And he has widespread support in KZN.
He's always had widespread support. He's always been seen as the guy who's going to be next. The Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma ticket was the Jacob Zuma ticket when Jacob Zuma realized that things are not going too well for him and he may face trial. On the 5th of April 2014, just 9 days before the ANC, before the national election in 2014, Jacob Zuma called a press conference. It was a Monday, and Jacob Zuma spoke for 2 hours at the press conference, touching on all sorts of things and da-da-da. And then he said, out of the blue, it's time for a woman to lead the ANC. And that, for in my view, that is when the penny had dropped that, you know what, I need someone who will protect me. And from then on, Jacob Zuma has been working on the Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma ticket and thereby kicked out or shoveled out Zweli Mkhize from then. He did not want Zweli Mkhize.
So do you think that Bantu Holomisa is scaremongering, or do you think he has knowledge that we don't have?
Maybe he has some knowledge, but I would like to have a conversation with him about what's he bringing to the table that he makes this allegation. And Professor, what's his name? Guy Butler, I think. Right. Yeah. Why they believe that this is the real Zuma candidate. I'm not convinced on the basis of what I'm seeing. Jacob Zuma in 2014, and now we are in 2017, has been running that campaign, has wanted that campaign, has pushed for it, has run around the country trying to get people into ANC positions who will support the Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma candidate. My view is that on August 5, when we went to the ANC policy conference, he realized that my campaign is falling apart, and that's because Didi Mabuza was prevaricating. I think that's when he realized, and that's when Jacob Zuma stood up at the end of the policy conference and said, we need to find a solution. And that solution may be that whoever wins...
The deputy has to come from the other party.
Yes, the loser must become the deputy.
Now this is interesting too, because we had Zweli Mkhize in here a while ago.
Mm.
And, you know, it's ANC protocol to not make yourself abundantly, obviously, available as the next president. But there were absolute intimations that this was something he was interested in.
Yeah.
And if he has been of this mind since 2001, he may have been playing the cleverest game of all.
Yeah.
What kind of a candidate, what kind of a president might he make if he is victorious? Would he be a unifier in terms of bringing the best possible people in? Would he just try to appease all the factions? Would he be someone who would continue some of the bad policies and legacies of this administration? Mm. Do we have any idea?
We have some idea. There are two things. You're absolutely right. So there's Zweli Mkhize, president of South Africa, and Zweli Mkhize, president of the ANC. One of the things about the old school ANC, even your Pravin Gordhans or Mcebisi Jonases, who've been very, very strong against Jacob Zuma and so forth, but those guys across the board, none of them wants to see a split in the ANC. They don't even want a splinter, as happened with Cope. What they want is unity, and there are many of them, and I believe Zweli Mkhize is one of them, who will go for unity of the ANC at all costs. Hmm. So I believe that as president of the ANC, he will aim to prevent a split or a splinter. He will try and accommodate your Pravin Gordhans, your Mcebisi Jonases, even your Makosi Kosas, he might say, look, let's sit down and talk. But one other thing he'll do is, I believe, is to protect Jacob Zuma. We don't have a declaration of immunity in South Africa, but I think that there would be some attempt by him to say, look, the Jacob Zuma years have come and gone. We need to find a way for Jacob Zuma to have a quiet exit and to go away so that we can continue with the ANC and bring it back to its glory.
Like a presidential pardon, like Ford gave Nixon.
Some sort of pardon of that nature.
Now, if that happened, would the prosecutorial authorities abide by that decision, or would it become a matter of private prosecution? Because there is a debt to be paid.
Yes. Without a certificate from the NPA, the private prosecution can take place. But I don't know the legal mechanics of a pardon, because you have to pardon a transgression. If there's no transgression, what are you pardoning? What are you forgiving?
So in other words, it would have to go to court first.
It would have to go to court first. Is there some other legal mechanism that can be used, some kind of immunity? I don't know. It's something that one would have to, and you know, and would, Richard Poplack.
I mean, we know we're very forgiving people in South Africa.
Yes, we are.
Particularly the majority in this country who have put up with a lot and have forgiven a lot.
Mm.
We had a TRC which tried to assuage these deplorable things in some way, mopping up some of the blood.
But we
do live in a society of extremely forgiving people.
Yes. But
do you think civil society would be happy with that? Would it not threaten the balance of power within the ANC yet again?
And I think there would be widespread condemnation, opposition to a failure to declare what's went on.
But it might provide all kinds of balance and stability, because that would mean...
Well, we forgive Jacob Zuma so we can forgive the guys who didn't go before the TRC, weren't followed up and so forth.
I'm talking about how then Julius remains an adamant... what would you call him? A protagonist against the administration, and that the DA continue to occupy some middle road.
So there's still an enemy for them to go up against. Yes, it sets it up nicely. And for the opposition, these are happy days. They are happy days because no matter which way you go, Jacob Zuma as a player in the political environment means that they have something to beat the ANC up about through to 2019. Mm-hmm. And that means that Julius will probably go from 8% to 10%, 12% maybe, break the double-digit ceiling. That Musi Maimane will go from 27% and maybe might make his target of above 30%. And that is a very seductive thing for Jacob Zuma to stay on. But I think Zweli Mkhize would want something that makes the Jacob Zuma years disappear so that he can start afresh and lead the ANC into elections in 2019 without too much Jacob Zuma going on. I think, you know, many people say the ANC hasn't learned its lesson, but I think people like Mkhize realize that the loss of Johannesburg, the loss of Tshwane, means without a shadow of doubt, if Jacob Zuma, his shadow hangs over the elections in 2019, Gauteng is gone. And if Jacob Zuma is a player, and by that I mean that Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma is president of the ANC, then a huge change in fortunes lies ahead for the ANC. So as a president of the ANC, I think he'll try for some of those. I don't know how it would pan out exactly, and there will be pushback from civil society, from NGOs and so forth, but I think he would try to get rid of the Jacob Zuma years and unify the ANC.
And what of the networks of patronage, and what of the detritus left in the wake of that administration, because Jacob Zuma is just one man.
If he comes through because of the Premier League, well, two of Ace Magashule's sons work for the Guptas. What does he do about that? The pressure will be on him. So one of the things about the bargains that are struck now is that whoever strikes those bargains must know that they're going to hobble them in office immediately after the 20th of December and they leave as ANC president, but they owe someone. Cyril Ramaphosa, for example, has made a bargain with the trade unions. It means that the trade unions will remain powerful, and particularly the civil service trade unions, NAHAU, will remain powerful in government and will continue to get nice increases, and that has an impact on the budget. So all of them have something that they stand to lose if this goes on. So I think that Zweli Mkhize will try to for some unity, but those are issues that will come up. And if he comes through on the unity ticket, it means that he has to keep those patronage networks going. And so that will have an impact on him as president of South Africa, because the fight against corruption will be hobbled by those bargains that he has struck.
And will again eat away at the ANC's support.
Exactly. So it looks like you've managed to get me to a point where whatever the ANC does, the ANC stands to lose down the line.
Because it's a zero-sum game.
Yeah. It didn't excise its all the problems that it had early on. And so the Jacob Zuma, the 10 years of Jacob Zuma as ANC president, the shadow of that will linger for a long while to come.
Just one quick thing before you go. The DA has a new leader in the Western Cape. I'm tempted to say, who cares, but I didn't know. Tell us. Who is it?
It's Bonginkosi Madikizela.
Okay, Madikizela one.
Yes, Bonginkosi Madikizela is an interesting guy. He's very close to Helen Zille. He said in his closing speech at the conference on Saturday at the weekend, that he wants to unify the party. He said that a lot of people are frustrated with the party in the Western Cape, and that he wants to bring back the young and so forth for some enthusiasm in it. I think one of the things that maybe we should discuss it next week or the week after, whenever, is you earlier on spoke about Bantu Holomisa. Yeah. And his comment about the ANC succession race. One of the things I find interesting about Bantu Holomisa is that everyone I know, all my friends, and this is not scientific, it's an anecdotal thing, but all my friends, I mean, here we are sitting in here, everyone voted for Bantu Holomisa. If you ask people at your dinner party, who did you vote for? And everyone says, oh, Bantu Holomisa.
He's one of the few people they're not embarrassed to admit they did vote for, and will lie and say they voted for, even if they didn't.
But the numbers don't show that this fine gentleman who stands for all the right things actually gets any votes whatsoever. So the DA, I find interesting that it had this conference in the Western Cape. It had Bonginkosi Madikizela is the new leader of the, and he'll likely become the premier in 2019 if they win in the Western Cape, which I expect them to do. What I find interesting is that the ANC is growing through absolutely the worst thing: the state capture, the Zuma, this Mbalula scandals, all sorts every week. Why is it, and this is a question for the entire opposition, how is it that the ANC still manages to win and win in local municipalities and elsewhere? And I think the next 2 years, the next 18 months or so in the run-up to the 2019 election, if the opposition cannot answer this question, why we remain such an ANC-dominated polity, then the ANC and its history and its machinery will win again in 2019. I think that the DA, instead of having fights in the Western Cape, where it's been, where Patricia de Lille, J.P. Smith, other people have been suspended, where it's having fights to some measure in the Eastern Cape, this is when they should be striking. Mm. And to be honest, they're not quite there. Even Julius Malema, we talk about him in relation to the ANC. Where is he saying, this is what we are going to do? I don't see enough of that. And so I think that's a big question for the opposition. And it's, are you really taking advantage of the ANC's problems right now? Because the ANC might be able to fix itself. Not many people believe it, but but if the ANC is unable to fix itself, where's the opposition?
Justice, that's all we got time for this week, but we will see you again next week.
Absolute pleasure. I might go out and get myself a Nando's now.
There we go.
Feeling a bit peckish.
The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's every week on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.